It's time already. Conscious Living. Hi there, I'm Wendy. And I'm going to do something a little bit different this week or this time, this show. It depends on when you're listening. I guess there's no week about it at this moment. This will be in some way, shape, or form followed up on either Wendy's Coffee House or Talking to Night Lights, a blog post. I haven't decided which way to go with it yet because it just happened Valentine's Day, okay? And a lot of this stuff that has happened, and I'll just say since 2009, when I started, I kind of shifted directions. My life went a completely different direction. And at that time, there was an incredible amount of paranormal activity. The things that when you're investigating, exploring, researching, finding out more about the contact experience, that paranormal element fits right in. Now, until then, I didn't know that the two were associated until I had my own experiences. One of the times I'm going through the house, and at that point there had been some activity at my house. I had made police reports and that kind of thing, but it was telepathic, the information I was getting, and it was one of the instances is there was something that they were trying to guide me to, and I'm listening to it telepathically, and they said, "Bob's your uncle." And so I looked over at my desk, and date book had a picture that was halfway out, just kind of sneaking, you know, just a little bit, about halfway, about three or four inches, hanging out there outside of the date book notebook, a picture of my Uncle Bob, deceased. Now, I don't know who would be telling me telepathically that Bob's your uncle, and having the picture of my uncle hanging out of my date book in front of my computer where I write. That was mind-boggling, but it was also a way to show me that there were more things happening that might be helpful for me to start paying attention and listening to some of that telepathic information. Now, I've been channeling at that point since 1997, and the channeling part also is a telepathic connection. There's a difference in that when each source has a different tone. And I remember when they first started, the guides that I work with started telling me how to differentiate, how to sort them out. They suggested it would be like a balloon, and each balloon has a string on it. And the string that has the most weight is the one that you're dealing with at the moment, the one that resonates, the one that vibrates a frequency. This was a whole new language. And the metaphors and the words and the descriptions I had to get used to. It wasn't a way that I was normally going to be communicating. So as I learned the language and learned what that meant, I also had visuals. I asked, "What do you look like?" And they showed me two, and this is a visual. I'm looking with my eyesight, not my third eye, not my imagination, my eyes, and seeing two round orb, round-shaped, orange balls of light or globs of color, clouds. It wasn't something that, you know, like a basketball. It isn't a physical, tangible, solid object. It's a floating energy space that colors the air. Yeah. Okay. So this is a language that and when you're trying to describe this, it gets murky real fast. But part of it is you start looking at things differently and hearing things that you normally would have passed over. And I noticed there were tones. And later on, I realized that the tones were, there was something that I needed to pay attention to. The tone was a cue. It was a signal. What I'm working up to is what happened Wednesday. Okay. So those kinds of things began to be part of my encyclopedia, my library, my reference. And when I was talking, some of the people I've interviewed have talked about the UFO experiences and the contactee experiences and all that. And I didn't really consider that that was what was happening until I started connecting dots and thinking, good grief, this is kind of an ET UFO thing. But what I had been doing with the channeling was dealing with entities that call themselves transdimensional because they don't have bodies. They are intelligent. And we can connect, but the body isn't something that they have to worry about. And so you're getting information, downloads, if you prefer. I call it channeling. You're getting content that sometimes will be relevant to what's happening in the moment, and other times it's like a premonition. It's a way of giving you information that doesn't always have the entire story, because you may need to be part of the process and do your work as this happens, and you're expected to bring your own conscience, your own being, your own ideas, mentality, effort. You're not just being spoon-fed and having somebody, you're not an automaton, you're not a robot, you're not being programmed to do things, you're being given information that if you so choose to act upon it, you can. A lot of times it is helpful to have the information because it gives you a little piece of the puzzle that sometimes is also a protection. And this little thing with my Uncle Bob, when it said Bob's your uncle, was a way to say this information is relevant to you. And that gave it more, for me, more weight. There's the balloon, more weight that I would listen to this information packet. And so this is where it gets complicated in trying to describe things that have no corporeal form and are unseen in most cases, because the only time I saw those, when I asked to see the guides, those energy forms, was the time that I requested it. And they were that, like I said, that orange cloud formation, the little about the size of a basketball. And it would be like a watercolor. That kind of consistency of a watercolor, a little bit muted, but that red orange color. And then from what I have been given through the guidance, that we also have color. And one of the times as I started channeling and trying to understand how these connections worked, I was approached about whether I wanted to be part of a movie. And it wasn't that they were inviting me. It was that they were auditioning me and trying to see if I would fit within what they needed a psychic to be for the program. At that point, I meditated and asked for help to see if it would be in my best interest to do this, and connected with this place that they were trying to include in a show for one of the local ghost busting, is it haunted and what to do about it shows. Okay. Anyway, it had a celebrity host who would go out and they'd go check this place out. All right. So they've got this all set up to work and they ask me questions, and I am given information that this place is basically has some Civil War activity, and the people who are there are being stressed out by the ghosts. And the problem is they had on the walls something that they didn't believe in. Basically, they had religious type of decorations on the walls, and they kept falling off. So the people were thinking that something was haunting them, and of course, it got really dramatic. But from the perspective I was given, was they didn't believe in what the religious symbols stood for. And so it was kind of like a hypocritical thing. So they were just taking the religious symbols off the walls because the people who lived there didn't believe in them anyway. It's kind of a sense of humor from a ghost's perspective. So the people were freaked out and thinking that the house, you know, was attacking them and all that. Well, in a way, it was kind of calling their bluff. You don't believe in this, so why do you hang it on the wall? Poof. I got that. Well, the information I got was enough that when the people, the producer, I can't remember which classification the person I talked to fell under, but one of the people who was auditioning psychics asked how I knew. Well, I didn't know. I just was given the information. And so some of my information made sense and relevant. So they thought that I had had some kind of a spy had leaked information. Like, but what happened after that was I had a dream. In the dream, I'm standing on a cardboard table, and the cardboard table is really slanted. I'm having a tough time standing on this thing. And I knew at that point I had been given information that everything was not on the up and up, that this show had a definite slant to it, and it wasn't in my best interest. So it turned out that I was not chosen to do the show. And I think what the question was in terms of my psychic information and my intuitive content, was I always right? And I said, no. Good grief, no. And anybody who tells you they're always, you know, 100% right, That's lovely. So go work with them. But no, I'm not. And I know that. And I have to know that in order to do what I do. Because a lot of times when you get information, you have to remember, is there something else going on in your own life where it could be a projection rather than an impression? And that is a constant thing. Is there something in your life relevant to what you are experiencing? Because a lot of this stuff in our experience, our environment, is a mirror. It's a reflection. We have some kind of a tangible accord that is either, you know, a sympathetic or a thing we need, that a challenge that we need to work on. So there's a reason that we're going through it. And to keep yourself completely clear and objective and not wanting a certain outcome is always a challenge and part of the process. So my answer was no, I am not 100% accurate. I go with the best information I have at the time, and then the result is revealed. That was maybe not the best answer that they wanted to hear, but it's my answer. So when they did do the show, they had everything set up, and the day that they were supposed to do it, I meditated. And at that point, I had activity at my house. The activity involved, this was when I didn't even know more about what was happening or what could happen. The night lights, that was my primary involvement and my primary concern of how I was engaging with the energy that activated my night lights and gave me the telepathic channeling, that information that came through with the channeling. And so this was just kind of out of the left field. And so the outside light came on, and I had this information from those who were at the house, the ghosts, the entities, and it was like they had just showed up to see what my colors were. And they told me how they saw my colors and what those colors meant. And for 10 minutes, we had this conversation. And then they said they were done. At that point, the light outside the house, because it was dark inside, outside the house, the light went off. So the transition between us having a conversation where I just felt like all this information was coming at me, and then it stopped, the light that had been turned on when they showed up was off, and I had information that if I would do the work on my end, that was all that was required. I didn't have to show up, didn't have to be part of the program, didn't have to do anything else except do a certain, in a way, it's an atonement, a prayer for what was happening at the house, at the space. And so then I agreed to do that. One of the signs I was going to get was a red balloon. Well, a red ball. It turned out it was a red balloon, but when it was completed, that the sign I would be given that it was successful, that I had done my part, I would see a red ball. And so I, you know, thinking like a little red super ball or something like that. And the day that they had the event, 4:00 in the afternoon, I remembered I laid down to meditate. The lamp in my bedroom beside the bed went on and off. So I knew I had company. I knew that, yes, this is how it works. This is what I'm supposed to do. And meditated. And then that was it. Maybe half an hour at the most. But then later on, at that point, I lived up the street from a coffee shop. So I walked down to the coffee shop. And as I'm walking down to the coffee shop, across the road comes this lovely yellow, red, green, no, red balloon. It was, of all the balloon colors that it could have manifested. And it's one of the, some of the helium that was in the balloon obviously had gone out. So it was enough that was just bouncing on the road. But there it is, out of the blue, this little red balloon that lets me know that yes, indeed, whatever I had agreed to had been, I had fulfilled my part of the bargain. The thing was about that show, once they had completed the filming, and once everything was done, the show wasn't aired because the people who lived in the house had decided they wanted more money. And to my understanding, that put everything, that just killed the deal because they would not let them use the footage. They at that point they had the lawyer who said that if you want to use it, then this is the put your, this is how it's going to work. And they said, okay, fine, no. So that whole thing, that slanted table that told me the thing wasn't on the up and up and whatever I was doing was going to be slanted, then I knew that it wasn't in my best interest to do whatever it was that I did, because this wasn't a good thing for me to be involved in. It doesn't mean that their show was fine, but for me to be involved in it, it wasn't going to be helpful. However, the fact that I did, that I was contacted and that I had made the connection telepathically, psychically, intuitively to that, the entities that were in that space. And this, it's, we're all connected. And so when somebody connects with you, there's a string from them to everything else that's going on. And so you have a way of picking up on that. Just because of that connection and what they're connected to. So it's incredible how this all works. You don't have to see it. You don't have to know it. You feel it. You sense it. It's part of what we are. And that was one of the things that opened up through my connection in 1997 when everything went a different direction with the nightlights. So, and the nightlights are still active. They're still part of my life. I still have encounters and electrical anomalies when I go into different buildings. There may be a blinking light, a flashing light, something like that that lets me know I have company or there's something I need to pay attention to. That's one of my cues and one of the things I look for. There are others, but that's one that for me resonates and is consistent. So working with this energy, I am aware that sometimes our space has company in your house, wherever you are. You know, you could place it, you don't have to go to some place that's specifically haunted, because energy is everywhere. And one of the guests I'm going to be talking with lives in a house that's haunted in Gettysburg, and lots of energy, lots of activity and interaction. And the places I have lived, there was one place that I didn't realize had energy. And there were a lot of different things that happened. At one point, I would go to sleep at night and wake up choking. And just my throat would be clogged. And I would hear tones like chimes. There's the tone. Chimes. And at one point, I was taking an afternoon nap because I worked the early morning shift, taking a nap. And I had bare feet, and at the end of the bed, my toe felt like somebody, a thumb just pressed my toe down. And that I remembered is why I always like to sleep under the covers. So I was again under the covers and thinking, what the heck? And there's the chimes, and we went on vacation, and whatever it was scared the cat, because the cat stayed in one particular corner, and he was a white cat. So the entire time we're gone, we had somebody look in and check in on the cat, make sure he was okay. But that little spot where he stayed was full of white hair, where he had been so flustered by the company in that particular house that he kept himself in that spot. Apparently that was a safe spot. So there were other things that gave me an idea that something about this place was off. But then when I woke up one night choking and then saying, oh, you know, the sound a ghost makes. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, wow, this is how they do it. I had no idea. I didn't believe that they could really come into you. No. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe they can't with everybody. But this particular instance, when I woke up and had that experience, I knew what the heck something was going on. So we did a little research to find out who had lived there previously. And we had this was a duplex. We bought it. It was a very, very good deal, below market value. And they had just said that it was time. They were done coming in town to worry about the duplex, needed to sell it. It was good neighborhood, the whole nine yards. And we were going to live in one side and rent the other out. And so it was perfect for what we were looking for at the time. But the guy who lived there earlier, according to the neighbors, had committed suicide. So what happened, and the reason we had these activities going on, was that he, in some way, shape, or form, knew that I was intuitive. And I didn't. I didn't understand how intuitive I was. This was before 1997. And so this is something where he was trying to get my attention so I could help him cross over, move on. And there were two or three things that happened. Another woman, a lawyer, actually, a former friend, died. And she came through a different psychic. And the psychic even had the name, "Do you know this?" And then all of a sudden she started talking to me. So all this stuff was happening as I was learning the ins and outs of how to be connected telepathically and how to pay attention to symbols and cues and signs. And from different entities, from different levels of consciousness, and transdimensionals is the word they've always given me, transdimensionals, that they are not necessarily something that we are going to connect with on the physical plane, because they don't stay here. They go back and forth. They don't exist here, which is technically what everybody says. They're not real. Well, that's right. They're inter-trans halfway here. So for here, they're invisible and they don't exist. However, you can still have encounters with these non-existing invisible beings. Isn't that convenient? Because at that point, you realize that you're not going to be able to prove it. You're going to have to figure out how it makes sense to you and still work with the information. And that's what most psychics and mediums and people who work with this kind of stuff learn how to do. Each person does it differently. So last Wednesday, at the time that we're talking, that's the date. Valentine's Day would make it just more generic. Yeah. Okay. So on Valentine's Day, I'm doing traffic the way I normally do, and just looking at the screen, watching, monitoring, trying to figure out what's happening. And something on the top of my head, I'm getting a sore spot. I'm like, good grief. And it's really beginning to be irritating because the top of my head is hurting. And it's, if you have a sunburn or, you know, you bump your head under, you stand up and you've misjudged the fact that you're standing under some kind of a platform or a shelf and you've bumped the shelf with your head. It's that kind of pain. It's getting more intense. And I'm thinking, what the heck? And I'm hearing telepathically that it relates to something I'm doing or I have been doing. So I'm thinking, I've got an interview coming up with Vincent Price's daughter. Maybe that's it. Victoria Price. Do I need to look up ghosts? Vincent Price, haunted. And it was like, no. Well, that was top of mind. Okay, so we dig a little deeper. And I had been doing some more stuff, investigating, exploring, and researching some recent UFO things to do some more interviews about UFO activity. And that was like, bingo. UFO, and the top of my head continues to hurt. And finally, I get this telepathic prompt that says, we're here. And I'm okay. And it said, look at the map. And this is the traffic map. We're here. And I looked down at the map, and immediately I had looked up just within seconds. And when it said, look at the map, we're here, I looked down, and there are four more accidents along the street that I had been looking at that just pop up on the screen. And they said, now see the placement of the accidents. And this is the size of the ship. It's rather large. Okay, now the reason that does make sense, and it's a little intimidating, the reason that does make sense is it the encounters I have had have involved, some of them, the battery on the car being drained on one car. The other car, it fried the electrical system and it had to go to the shop to be redone. So two cars sitting in the driveway. One, the electrical system was fried. The other one, it just ruined the battery, which was great. That was less expensive. And then in the house, there were some electronics that were affected as well. That was one experience. That was a pretty intense one. But seeing and knowing that this happened at that time and then connecting the dots and saying we're here and seeing my screen light up with accidents, it's a cloudy day. So the visibility is limited. The streets are wet, which then leads to more accidents anyway. But the other thing was the fact that it kept hitting the top of my head. And that meant we're overhead. I thought that was kind of interesting. We're overhead. And then within 24 hours, I picked up the somebody had just posted about a UFO sighting in Chile. And that UFO registered, they were able to pick it up with infrared on the map, showing that it was about 240 miles or 200 miles wide in diameter. So I just thought maybe I should throw some of this stuff out here as I continue to do the show to let you know that there are other things going on that prompt me to explore this information. So we'll come back. We'll come back. This isn't all. There's more. Conscious living and a whole lot more on Empower Radio. Glad to have you along. Have you had something interesting happen in your life? I'll bet you have. Stick around. There's more.
So you see, son, good manners are very, very important. Someday, many years from now, when you're a grown-up, you'll be a man. And when you are, you should be a gentleman. Do you want me to go through it one more time?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open for ladies. If a door's shut, then knock first. Don't burp, don't swear, don't speak with your mouth full, don't reach across people's plates, keep your elbows off the table.
What table?
And don't interrupt. While we're at it, don't stare, don't use foul language, don't call people names, but do remember people's names. Always share your toys, play nice, and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. On the bus, give up your seat to anyone who has trouble standing. Bottom line, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2 minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take a deep breath in and let go of the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you hit that piñata into your neighbor's yard. Let it go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Walk to work, walk the dog, have the dog walk you, take a hike, take a bike, skate, dance, hop, jump, do the Humpty Hump, skip seconds, skip dessert, skip, skip, skip to Malou, don't skip breakfast, drink H2O, lower your sodium, raise the roof, shake your booty, stock up on vegetables, and don't forget to eat them. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
It's Conscious Living, talking to Nightlights is the blog that I do. I also do the Wendy's Coffee House blog, but the talking to Nightlights, I tend to talk a little bit more about my personal experiences there, where the Wendy's Coffee House, I kind of throw in a little bit of everything. And then some of the things I'm working on in terms of setting up maybe interviews, some I've done, some I would like to do, and some just because I think it's fascinating. Anyway, The thing with the UFO, that was a surprise, and I didn't expect that kind of contact, especially to say, and this is the size of the ship. Now, I've had them tell me we're up above you, and at one point, I can't remember, I think it was 2014, when Andy came home and said, did you see what's outside the house? did you look? And I'm like, no. And I had already, and I've talked about this before, I had had a prompt earlier in the day, again, a telepathic prompt said, we're above the house. Come look at us. So I went out and I sat out on the patio for a little bit and looked up. I couldn't see anything. I saw clouds and butterflies. Oh yeah, you're clouds. Oh yeah, you're butterflies. I'm just making this up. So I acknowledged, thank you for letting me know you're up there and I appreciate it. And then when Andy came home and said, did you see what was above the house? No. And I went out and sure enough, there's this white star above the house. Good grief. There is something up there. It's a star. It's because it's so far away and because of the way the sun is at that point, probably reflecting. At that point, though, that he had no idea that I had been given this prompt that there was something above the house. And when he asked me to go out and take a look at it, and sure enough, yeah, there it is. We took a picture. And of course, it looks like a teeny tiny itty bitty speck, a little itty bitty speck of white. Now, I've had no luck taking pictures of stars. So the fact that I could get this was kind of impressive. Anyway, so I've had these little prompts off and on, and I've had activity in the house. And like I said, the time that it fried the thing on the car was really annoying. It's expensive. Some of these things, and of course, you know, it doesn't make any, it doesn't help to report it. Nothing happened that anybody knows. We just know that we've got the result and we have to go fix it. But there was a reason for some of this activity. And the one where I told you the Uncle Bob, that was actually working on my behalf, trying to help me and let me know that I had help in a situation where I was being annoyed by somebody else. And that did resolve. So to me, that was a divine intervention. And I had help from the completely and totally off the wall sources that nobody would be able to track down. Hi, I've got ETs helping me. No, doesn't work that way. But the same thing with ghosts, that kind of thing. These are entities that are present. And unless you talk about them and say, this is my experience, you're really not going to get other people to share their own stories and say, hey, this happened for me. Because once I started talking about it, I think Paula Harris, one of the people I interviewed asked me, well, have you told or written this down that there's a difference in the air, you know, when they're present? And I said, no, I just experienced it. Well, now that they're doing some of this with the Free Research, the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, people are talking about all sorts of things like that. But one of the things that is tangible when you have the presence of certain types of ETs, this is not a cookie cutter, one size fits all. There are many different kinds of encounters. And I have had different ones. So this happened to have an element that there was a time shift involved. There was also, when the presence was here, it felt like the air changed. Some people call it ozone. I called it a barometric pressure shift, where it felt like you were in a higher elevation, a higher altitude, where the air is crisp and the oxygen is decreased. So that for me was something I could, it was tangible, something I could relate and identify. Oh yes. Okay. There's something else going on. The animals will tell you too. You mean they may act differently. They might be frightened or they might be completely calm. Every animal, just like a person, has their own temperament and will be impacted differently. So with that, there were some other things that let me know that there were other presences and that there was something that was happening, and I could relate it in terms of real time, knowing that this wasn't me just imagining. There were things that were happening in my space that I could look at to show me, okay, there is an impact. There is something else here that is also changed as a result of this. So as I'm doing the traffic reports and getting this information, this prompt saying we're overhead, I thought that was a lovely way to do that. Apparently I was busy. And the last thing I was thinking about was that. And so and then to say, we are overhead. Well, it gave me a map. I'm looking at a map and I'm seeing where the accidents are and noticing. Now, when you think about that, and this is what some of the complaints when Ted Owens was doing his work, was that, you know, when he was asking the ETs to help him with the lightning strikes and to show people that what he was really doing was powerful and connecting it, that they could direct the lightning and help him. And there were people who were afraid of him saying, well, he was doing this and he was harming people in the process. And there was a fallout. Well, that was what I'm looking at, knowing there are people involved in those accidents and thinking, I hope these are all just fender benders, because this is a bit uncomfortable, knowing that I have been given some kind of a visual that says this is what happens when you are in the presence of this kind of energy, the energy that they have, that it isn't always compatible with our equipment. And the bigger picture is that it can cause accidents on a larger scale. This isn't something anybody wants to really get into. I have not heard a lot of those kinds of conversations about just how, let's say, disruptive that these kinds of encounters can be. However, because I haven't heard them doesn't mean that conversation is non-existent, which brings me to the most recent report that talks about a UFO encounter that is documented. And thanks to the Freedom of Information Act, the guy who operates the blog, mainstream blog, Devoid, his name's Billy Cox, he was following up on a report by the War Zone. And this is not a UFO site. This is a military, this is a site that he happened to hear about through Reddit, I believe is where they first targeted it, that there was a sighting in Portland, a UFO anomaly. So he did the work trying to get the Freedom of Information Act to get background on this sighting. And he did. So then what he did, which is absolutely incredible, the amount of work that it took to go through, he has the phone calls. He has the conversations between the air traffic controller and the pilots. And he's put them on 4 videos, and you can check it out. I put links on Wendy's Coffee House with this one. It's called Beyond Belief, UFOs, Yogis, and Miracles. Put them in that post. But anyway, so he's got all this information and you hear as they're talking about this, they're trying to identify it. And all they can see is maybe it's a white plane, but there are no markings. So this doesn't mean it's a UFO as in extraterrestrial, transdimensional. It is unidentifiable. And at one point they just see, he says it's a white airplane and then a white speck, no identification. And you hear at one point it shows up on the radar or they've got it, and then it's not there. And then later it's going north and then south. They thought it was going one direction. All of a sudden they look, it's going in another direction. So it's doing all sorts of things that are very unusual and flying at speeds that are just a little bit out of the ordinary. So this is a gold nugget scored by the Freedom of Information Act. And that one is just worth listening and worth connecting to. Now, why do I say that? Because this pops up after I have this experience. They're telling me how big that this vessel, ship, whatever is. So when I can see it on a map and see that maybe it's not 240 miles, but it's pretty darn big. And then I get the prompt within 24 hours about the sighting in Chile where they have it on and I think it actually happened in 1992 that they discussed it. They were discussing it on a TV program at that time, the earlier sighting, and saying, this is what registered on radar. And that was the cool thing about it, was actually it was covered on, for them, you know, mainstream television. And I thought, well, that is one of those things that we're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. And the other thing I posted on the blog has to do with the International UFO Congress. That was meeting last weekend and talking amongst themselves, some of the people who are the A team talking amongst themselves about the challenges of talking about this stuff and getting it more mainstream focus. stop giggling every time somebody says the word UFO or encounter or experience, all of that stuff, because it really does help to compare notes and to compare sightings and rule out the ones that are, yeah, that's that new, they've got a satellite that they've called it like the disco ball, and it's going to be up in the air for 9 months, you know, doing good work. I think it's some millionaire's idea of a, you know, a playful little jaunt. Anyway, that's what I wrote it off to. I'm sorry if that's I don't mean that to be a slam, but in other words, it might be mistaken for a UFO. But those kinds of things, it helps to rule them out. And then to rule in the things that don't make any sense and that we can't really in any way, shape, or form identify. That's where we learn. And that's why when Paula asked me, did you report that? And the difference, you know, that experience. Well, no, at that point, I wasn't really convinced that MUFON, me reporting it, that was going to make any difference. And I'd had two or three experiences and encounters, and mine aren't the typical encounters. So I think that's part of this channeling aspect too, because the paranormal stuff that I've grown accustomed to, I didn't have a way to document it or anywhere to go with it. It was just something that I dealt with and that I have learned to work with. So those kinds of things, there's a learning curve that goes along with, for one, being comfortable with the experience, and then in another, learning the language to help interpret or translate the encounter, because we use different terms and different words, and in some ways we are completely wrong with our identifications. There's more than just one. It isn't a one size fits all, and that's when I've been looking at and doing research for the people who've had these encounters or the artists who paint the experiences that they've had with ETs, and they don't look anything like the little grays. That says, okay, there's more going on here. There's a really, really beautiful picture that one of the guys who's had an experience, he's from Spain and an artist and has a lot of beautiful work. And he went to Brazil where he had a sighting and an encounter with this species that looks reptilian, but they're absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous people. And he said, he has permission and that they wanted people to know that this is what they look like so they won't be frightened eventually when they see them again. And we may not be here about that time, but one way or the other, this stuff is getting out. And intuitively, my guidance, the things that I have asked for, you know, why can't I know more? Why the secrecy? Why the baby steps? And I pretty much answered it with the last question. Why the baby steps? We're not quite ready. And that doesn't mean 100% of us. It means there are a few stragglers who are not quite ready. And I'm probably a straggler just as much as anybody else. It's a lot to digest. And especially when I'm given that information in that charades kind of way of looks like, sounds like, on the top of your head, overhead, above you. After I made that connection, the pain went away. And that's usually what happens is there will be two or three attempts to get my attention and give me information. And I may have a physical imprint of whatever it is to help me make the connection. And that's just part of it. It isn't a real pain. It's just a prompt. And I thought was kind of amusing afterwards. We're overhead. And there was the pain on the top of my head. And I'm sitting there. I'm doing the traffic report, sitting here holding my head because it hurts. Thinking, what the heck is going on? I could have thought I was getting the cold or a flu, but that wasn't anything like that. It was like something on the top of my head. I had bruised it. And, you know, I hadn't done anything, but that was it. And so as soon as I made the connection, yes, that the UFO was overhead. And then they had me look at the map to say, and this is how we can tell you how big it is because you can't see it. I thought it was convenient that it was cloudy. Also, I know that that's a lot of what happens too. They're drawn, they're more active during the electrical storms, certain types of storms, because that's an energy boost. And sometimes it's an energy to be able to come through the dimension. And sometimes it's an energy already in the dimension, just drawing from our plane. Now, there's also another element that goes into the non-corporeals, the other beings who are also here. They being around us, like being in a room full of people at a haunted mansion, is a buzz. It's like a jacuzzi. Our energy is for them like a fuel. And so they are drawn to those spaces where we are having fun and partying and celebrating and being spooked because that's an energy buzz. And some of those places, the Stanley Hotel is a prime example in Colorado. That was a place I never really intended to go, but decided I had been given a prompt to go there. Okay, fine, I'll go. And experiencing that was another way of giving me an understanding of why people might be drawn there and why some people feel extremely, it's a fun place, a buzz, and they want to go back. And others might feel uncomfortable because it's too intense. There's a heaviness when you're dealing with spirits that everybody reacts to differently. Sometimes it can be draining. And for me, there are a lot of places I build up my energy, go there, and then when I leave, build up my energy again because it is, it's pulled and you feel it. And other people they function just fine. They don't notice any difference at all. So there are things that you learn, or I have learned as I have become more comfortable dealing with the various levels. But that's a paranormal thing. And these are entities that are here. They may have been in body form or not. They are drawn because of that like connection, you know, the waves, the vibration, the frequency. That's a similar broadcast. And again, the language is something that I have had to figure out for myself so I can make sense of it. It might not make sense to you, but I'm the one who has to deal with this. And so I have to figure out, okay, how can I classify it in a way that I'll know what I'm talking about the next time? Hopefully that I can follow the thread. But that's the thing. When I started getting into more of that ET element and comparing notes with other experiencers and thinking, well, the paranormal, I'm finally glad that they're putting that in there because this time shift element is a factor. And as a matter of fact, they told me flat out that they are affecting and they do influence our timeline. Oh, okay. Well, that means that we are not all going to have the same experience or the same memories because there has been a shift. So we may have had one experience that won't in some way, shape, or form appear for somebody else. Well, that makes things complicated. So I decided maybe I didn't need to take notes on all of that. I would just experience things as they as they related to me and make sense of that to the best of my ability. But in working with people in terms of, you know, an intuition session, an intuitive read, a channeled guidance, then I ask what it's most appropriate for me to share. What is most appropriate at this time for this person to hear? What are they most likely to benefit from? And do I have permission to share it? That's pretty much where I start. There are so many times that people are frightened unnecessarily because it's just downright intimidating when something will happen. And whether it's a haunting, whether it's just something that shakes your perception of reality, it's on some level disconcerting because there's no frame of reference. There's no prior a roadmap or a dictionary that you can go to. You're having the encounter for the first time. You've never heard about it. You don't have a template to say, oh, this is how this works. A frequent thing is people refer to miracles. And my mom, after I did the week that I did the interview with Dr. Kobaba on miracles, this happened in 2017, November. And he's the one who wrote about doctors who don't talk about their miracles because, of course, being a doctor. And that, you know, might be a problem because then they have a license to protect. So Dr. Kobaba put the stories together. And what happened with my mom was she called me that week. I get the message on my answering machine and says, I want to tell you about the accident I didn't have. And Physicians Untold Stories, in case you want to get that. There's also an interview. I posted that. But Okay, thanks, Mom. Of course, it took me 2 days before I could connect with her and hear about this. And she said, I was driving down the road and she's face to face. She's going to have an accident. She knows it and she can't avoid it. She has mere seconds to figure out how to, you know, what's the best case accident? What to hit with the least possible damage? And as she's thinking that and thinking, if I just turn, all of a sudden, she's not in the accident. It's not there. The vehicle has turned. They didn't collide. There was no impact, no encounter. And she said, he had to have seen me. And she drove by to see later on, to see where everything was. I said, Mom, draw a diagram. I want to see it. I want to share it. And so she's drawing me a diagram. Of course, I didn't share it. But she's drawing, and she's saying, as she's looking at it going, see, this is impossible. This couldn't have happened. And it did. It did. How and why? Well, there's no answer in this case. And I just figure Mom had other things she needed to do, and the person who was there for the accident also had something else that they were required to do, and so there was no need to have the accident because they'd already passed that hurdle. They'd already crossed that one off their list. So this was kind of like, oh, whoops. And so the angel said, hey, fix that. Okay, got it. See you, bye. Or the ET. They do that too. So that part of it, to me, those things happen and we don't always need some kind of, you know, explanation for it. But knowing that they happen and knowing that anything is possible is pretty cool. So when they're showing me how big the ship is, and I'm thinking, wow, this means that in their presence, there are some things that might happen that could be, from our perspective, pretty uncomfortable and inconvenient. And I think that is happening too, whether it's in the sky or on the ground. Those things are happening. And right now, they aren't being factored into our reality and our equation as we continue to upgrade our technology and plan on doing things that won't make sense when we have accidents and encounters. That's part of what's happening right now. And I think more of that will happen in the next few years. Those are the things that I see increasing. And fortunately, more people are talking about these things so we can compare notes and we can understand that if I have had a sighting, I can talk about it. Not that everyone will agree or feel comfortable, but the person who's also had a sighting will know, been there, done that. It's okay. We aren't alone. We're experiencing something that is pushing us to upgrade our abilities, our PSI abilities, extra sensory knowing. That's what this is about. It isn't about collateral damage. It isn't about being targeted, being punished, abused. It's about learning, expanding, and everything that you can do, whether it's through meditation, whether it's through some type of yogic experience, whether it's through dreaming, studying shamanism, studying anything that will help you improve your sense, your extra sense, your being, is what this is about. So however that happens, the out-of-body experiences are great. The near-death experiences I prefer to avoid. Just saying. I've had some other things happen that have helped detour that. But that's where we learn that we are more than just this physical body. However, these other abilities that we have, and sometimes people come back with more after one of these experiences, which is what happened for me 2 or 3 times. That's what this is about, is to start utilizing those, using them, exploring, and getting more comfortable, knowing that that's also part of being human, to be fully human. We have to bring some of that to the table. And the equation. So here we are. What a great time to know we are not alone. And we are also not powerless. So explore your world, explore your reality, and know somewhere up there, somebody's making a dent in our world. It's about time we woke up and said, hi, welcome to my reality. What's up? Till next time, stay curious. And you can check out the blog spot, Wendy's Coffee House, or Talking to Night Lights. More stuff there. See ya. Thanks for listening.